Back with you on our podcast, and we start the month of September with Lieutenant Kyle Bruce. He's here from the Stillwater Police Department. He's the guy that all of us in the media deal with directly and indirectly and up and down and sideways and sort of all different things. But we appreciate him being here today. We've got a couple of topics we're going to touch on. You know what? We all survived the first home football game weekend.
So far, so good. Haven't had any reports of anything bad going on, so we got to win, and let's move on to week two.
Yeah, and my old alma mater about pulled off the upset there, but we didn't have enough offense to get that done. You people who were scared the fourth quarter, I'm sitting there going, I'm scared to death, right? And I'm going to have to atone for that, you know, but it didn't happen. We are back to school, and we're about 3 weeks into it. For some people, a month in our area. Some of the rural kids got started earlier. Some got started later than Stillwater did. I know Guthrie and Perkins Tryon started later than Stillwater and some of the other schools. But a lot of what we're going to talk about in this first part here, school zones, signage, buses, crosswalks, things of that nature apply everywhere. So you could be listening in California and these rules apply.
Yeah, this is true. This is something that's very important and vital to the safety of our small kids as they go to and from school every day. And every year we have a campaign to bring awareness to the community about the school buses, crosswalks, just the school in general as to how to go through it safely. With last year being kind of an odd year where a lot of people weren't in school. I know the school zones were in place, but people just kind of, you know, last year just what last year was. Let's just put it that way. So we're, you know, kind of bring awareness back to the community of, you know, pay attention to the school zone speed limits, the buses, you know, the lights are lit up, the crosswalks, sidewalks. So just school safety in general.
Buses in particular, unless you're on West 6th west of Sanger, you're supposed to stop either direction for the bus, even if you're behind it.
This is true, yes. That's the only location in Stillwater that you don't have to stop is if you are on the east or westbound and the bus is in the other direction. Everywhere else, it doesn't matter how large the highway is. If there's not a controlled divide median like there is out there with the grass area, if that light comes on, those yellow light comes on, you know the red one's coming next, so you might as well slow down. And as soon as the red lights are on that bus, you must stop.
And this applies out in the county as well. Now, 51 obviously is divided all the way out to 35 and beyond for a little ways, but you have Mulhall, Orlando District is out there, and Stillwater goes for a ways. And Coil buses run up there too a little bit in that area and turn around and come back because they pick up some kids out at the Indian Meridian. But that's the only area in the county really where that applies. Everywhere else, and that includes South Perkins Road going to Perkins, you're supposed to stop.
Yes, it doesn't. Again, it does not matter the road structure. If it is continual road, there's no median in the middle of it where it's, you know, a hard surface median as opposed to just turn and pass lanes, you must stop. So if you see those lights come on, please give those kids a break and stop.
Now, Van Ness, you didn't say the Turnpike or I-35. Well, 99.9% of the time, buses aren't picking up kids on the Turnpike or I-35. That's why I didn't include that, all right? Before you go get technical on me out there, because I know some of you do that. You burn me on things like that. That's why I didn't bring that up. But again, these rules apply everywhere. Next one I want to talk about is school zones. Because even in a small town like Glencoe, I'll use an example out here northeast of town, they've got the lights up that have the school zone signs, and it's 25 or whatever speed it is. And by the way, they vary here around town a little bit. That is a no-tolerance speed limit.
Correct.
You don't get any break if you get a ticket, period.
That's kind of universal also. That's not something that we practice here in Stillwater.
No, that's right.
I mean, again, it's that safety of those kids. So pay attention to what – and the school zone starts when that light begins – and the school zone ends where the light ends. So you have a lot of people say, oh, I can see the speed limit changing up there, so I'm going to start accelerating. You can't change speeds.
Still in the school zone.
And a couple of things that people aren't aware of with the school zones. If you're in a two-lane road or you have two lanes going in one direction and you're in a school zone, you can't change lanes. You have to stay in your lane of traffic. You can't have the opportunity to switch lanes like you do normally in a school zone. And always, folks, put your cell phones down. I mean, again, you're not supposed to be having them up anyway, but if you're one of those people that just can't live without their cell phone, for that 30-second pass through the school zone, put your cell phone down, please.
The reason I bring up the speed limit differences, they're different in front of schools than they are, say, on 6, but again, Westwood is there, so it kind of slows down to 20. Richmond might be an exception, but again, it still slows down. And again, some of these roads are coming off a faster speed limit. I'll use Richmond as an example, because it's 50 normally through there. It's different than it is on 6. It's different in front of Skyline. You get my idea here, yeah. Kyle, is that it's nearly different high school or place else, but the methodology is the same. Whatever that speed limit is, boom, that's what it is. It's not 1 mile over.
Yeah, and again, that's we're talking about the no tolerance. You know, there's the people will always say, well, you always get 5 miles an hour. Well, in school zones, you get 0 miles.
You get zero, right.
You need to go the speed limit or less.
Now, crosswalks. This is what I was told years ago, and I'm pretty sure this is still right because I haven't anybody tell me it's not. Pedestrians have the right of way anyway. Doesn't matter. If they're in a crosswalk in particular, they have the right of way. It doesn't matter if you have the right or not. It doesn't matter if they're jaywalking in a crosswalk or not, and I'll get to that here in a moment. But you have to be aware of people and cyclists and other things crossing or going with you on a road at any time. It's not just around a school zone. I'm going to broaden that out to say in here in Stillwater, all over town.
Yeah, I will say, you know, the pedestrian traffic does have to follow certain rules and laws like the vehicular traffic
They're
does.
Supposed to.
But let's just be honest here. Car versus pedestrian, car always wins.
Yeah, it's like train versus car.
So you can't have that mindset of, well, it's they shouldn't have been there anyway. Well, again, you're willing to hit somebody because they shouldn't have been there. So it goes back to that being mindful and paying attention to what's going on around you.
Goes back to the driver, right, exactly. That's right. Now, the other thing about that is, though, and I'll use game day as a good example. You have herds of people crossing the street at the same time. Just be patient with these folks. They're going to make it, and you're going to get your light, okay?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you can't control what you can't control. And you can't control people stepping out off the curb, crossing the street where they're not supposed to. You know, if you're in the like I tell everybody when I teach driver's classes, if you're in the area of the campus, just know what's going to happen. So be prepared for it to happen.
Or what can happen.
Exactly. So, again, you've got to – they're going to do it. So there's nothing you can say or do that's going to stop it. So let's just be mindful. Let's pay attention to what's going on. And, again, pay attention to your surroundings while you're driving.
And the other thing is we have not only bicyclists and little Vespas and things of that nature, but we have these little spin scooters that are around. They're the orange ones. I know Guthrie's getting ready to get the lime ones we used to have here. And other towns in our state and elsewhere, if you're hearing this outside of Oklahoma, have similar college towns in particular. I know KU and other places like that have these little scooters. What's the rule of the road, first of all, if you're riding, and then if you come up on one?
Well, number one is they can't be on the street. A scooter can't
be on
the
street. They're a sidewalk item,
right? They're a sidewalk item. Okay. So, but again, people don't always pay the rules. Pay attention to the
rules. Well, what if there's no sidewalk?
Well, then they're going to have to be on the farthest right side of the street.
Up against the curb or whatever.
Up against the curb. And one of the things about our scooters here is they're basic. There are a lot of them are towards the campus. They can ride them off campus, but they all start kind of around the campus. Where when we first,
they don't go very far off campus.
No, they don't. They don't travel very far. I mean, they can, but they don't.
I live about a block and a half. I'll tell a funny story here. This goes back a couple of 3 years. Some of those get deposited in front of my house. You know why? Because they run out of juice or range by then. And I live about a block and a half east of Main on 3rd. Okay. And so every once in a while, we'll have a dead scooter in front of our house. And I know why it's there. It's not because somebody's abandoned it who lives in the neighborhood. It's because it's quit working because they have a range to them.
Yeah.
Some of them are better than others, by the way.
Yeah. So, again, just be mindful. We have them, and it's kind of back to that campus thing here in Stillwater. You know, we have them on campus. You know, so Guthrie is getting ready to get them. I don't know what they're going to do with theirs, what their location is going to be. But if you know your location or your city or community has those scooters, number one is – they're going to be ridden. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of times it's more for fun and enjoyment than it is for travel, ease of travel. So be mindful of those things. They can be hazardous. I was on a trip 2 weeks ago to Indianapolis, and they had all of them up there, Bird, Lime, Spin, you name it, they had it. Well, during my convention I was up there, I know of one personal friend of mine that crashed on a scooter, and he has to have his leg ACL, MCL repaired.
Wow.
But the whole time there was also a crash where somebody had an emergency surgery because they split their gut open. They hit their head. So just be mindful of those things. There are some people that are on scooters that probably shouldn't be on scooters.
Yeah. And when you park them, whether they're dead or not, get them off the sidewalk. Put them on the grass. That's fine. They're not going to set the grass on fire. They're electric, for crying out loud. They don't burn fuel. They don't get hot. They might get a little warm, but they don't get hot like a car catalytic converter would be on grass on the shoulder out in the country.
Yeah.
There's a great
example. Mindful of the sidewalks. Keep the sidewalks clear.
Keep them clear, and it goes for bicycles too. And again, I think so far, so good at this Formica countertop's got wood under it. So far, so good on us getting through the school year without a whole lot of problems. But again, if you missed the beginning of this, maybe picked it up in the middle, and that's possible, you can do that. These rules that we've talked about for Stillwater, kind of rules of the road, and some of them are rules, apply everywhere.
Yeah, they're universal. I mean, no matter where you travel, they're going to have school zones where schools are at. They're going to have school buses picking up school kids. You know, they're going to have crosswalks. So what I'm telling you here doesn't just pertain to the city of Stillwater. It pertains to everywhere you drive in the country.
And assume any school kid or adult, as far as that goes, riding, say, one of our buses here in Stillwater, can walk off the curb at any place at any time.
That is very correct.
And that's, again, that's not to fault them. That's just the way things work. I'm still in a very bad habit at my advanced age of walking out between cars. I should not do that, but I know where I am. The trouble is I forget people may not see me. That's on me, folks. I'll tell on myself here. So don't do that either, okay? And if you see me, just knock me on the head and say, don't do that, you know, kind of like Archie Campbell back in the day on Hee-Haw. All right, let's go to Shop with a Cop because we're getting ready to have that again this year.
Yes, we have that. We are in the process of just getting started with that program. It's an annual program that we've been going on for several years now that happens in December where we have the opportunity as the law enforcement community, OSU, Stillwater Police Department, Payne County, OHP, all participate in that. And we get the opportunity to take kids who just don't have the fortune sometimes to have buy Christmas presents for their family, and we get to do that with them. So that's coming up here in December, and we'll be getting that rolling out here pretty soon. Every year I have questions. How do we get signed up for it? Well, it's nothing that you get signed up for. We go through the Stillwater Public Schools counseling system, and they provide us a list of names. So I know that's always been a question in the past is how do I get on that list? Well, there really isn't a list. We use our resources of the public schools to help us find the kids in need.
Now, let's say I wanted to help you and I wanted to give you $50. Well, would I be able to do that for you to put that toward this program?
Oh, yes. I mean, our community outreach program is 100% funded through donations.
Okay.
Shop with a Cop is one of our programs. So if you want to donate to Shop with a Cop, you can contact me, Kyle Bruce, at the Stillwater Police Department. Just call the Stillwater Police Department, ask for Lieutenant Kyle Bruce. They'll kick you up to me, and we'll get that funding set up. But, yeah, we will. We really love to have donations because that's how we run our programs is through donations. And, you know, $5, $10, $15, $25, $100, all of it can go to a good use for this program.
Yeah, it all counts. Now, you don't have to give toys, okay? Save that for Toys for Tots and things that they'll do this year, okay? But if you want to make a cash donation, and you can do that starting today, as a matter of fact, go ahead and just get it done. If you need a receipt, they'll give you one, okay? They can get that set up for you because this program has benefited over the years a number of Stillwater children.
Yeah, we have, and we are a 501(c), so it is something you can write off. And again, we'll only accept cash donations. We don't hand out toys. We actually go to one of our community partners, which is Walmart on Perkins Road, who has been there from day one with us, and they do a lot of work for us in this program. And then we shop there at that store. So, again, you know, if you have any monetary donation you want to give, we'll take it. And if you need a letter for tax purposes, we'll be more than happy to give that to you.
Now, I said you could donate money today. That's fine. Is there an official kickoff date, or is this it?
No, we don't really have official kickoff date with it. Any time of the year, we'll take money for it, but we're just now starting into that. We just finished up with our night out program, so then we're moving into our next one, which is a Shop with a Cop.
Excellent. And again, you know, we're 115 days or 10 days or whatever it is away from Christmas. That's hard to believe, and about that far from the end of the year, and it'll be 2022 here around the corner. But again, there's a lot of effort to put this program together for a Shop with a Cop because obviously you get the names, and it's like the demand is great every year, and now can we do it?
Yeah, we are. I mean, this isn't something that we can throw together in a week or two. We're starting now, and this will be in the 1st of December, so, you know, we're 2 to 3 months out, and we're starting the program or process now.
Very good. And there'll be information up on this, and the city will put some stuff out on it as well. But if they want more information on that or anything else police-wise or stuff we've talked about on the program today, You don't have to call 911, okay? Save that for a real, quote-unquote, emergency. There is a non-emergency number, and Kyle has that.
That number is 405-372-4171.
Now, on social media and things of this nature, do you guys do updates and alerts and things? And I know Facebook you do a little bit.
Yeah, we have three platforms we use. We use Facebook, we use Twitter, and we use Instagram. And they're all active accounts.
Very good. So if you want to get active with that, do you just follow, sign up?
Yeah, just give us a like.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, just follow us. Or it depends on what platform you're on, but you can either like us or follow us.
Excellent. Very good. Kyle, we appreciate the visit, and thanks for the time, and good luck with Shop with a Cop, and hopefully some good numbers this year.
I appreciate it, Bill. Thank you.